Calling Grass Nation. We are conducting an audience survey at gum.fm/touchgrass. And we want to hear from you so that we can keep making content you love.
You know this. We know this. There are ads on our podcast. Mm-hmm. We want to improve that experience. But in order to do so, we need to know a little bit more about you, our audience. This survey is quick, easy, and a free way to support this podcast. It'll take 2 minutes and you'll be helping us out so much by doing it.
Yes, so go to gum.fm/touchgrass to fill out our audience survey. That's gum.fm/touchgrass to fill out our survey. Thank you for using your precious time online to help us with our podcast.
We love you.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
You got mail.
Hi, I'm Elise Morales.
And I'm Millie Tamaras.
And this is
Go Touch Grass,
the podcast where we log in.
So you can log off.
Millie and I are two chronically online comedians, and on this podcast, we break down the week in internet discourse, viral memes, TikTok trends, and niche influencer drama so that you can go do anything else with your time.
And if you like what you hear today and want to hear more, we got a Go Touch Grass Patreon already up with tons of more content weekly, mm-hmm. access to our Discord community, yep. and a spinoff series, Search History. We go back and break down a viral discourse from the past. Let me tell you something, guys. SNL just did a whole sketch about viral TikTok trends, mm-hmm. and someone in the Discord was like, thank God for your podcast. Thank God for the Patreon, yep. because I knew everything that was on that
trends.
Sketch.
Exactly.
I knew all the trends. Kamala got made a pop the balloon,
yes.
pop the balloon commercial.
Yes,
and if you don't, yeah,
there's been a pop the balloon clip going around of like a guy saying he wasn't going to vote,
and
then all
popped.
The women pop the balloon.
And if you don't know what we're talking about, you got to check out
Patreon.
Get on the Patreon because we go in a deep dive of pop the balloon, and also for our spooky galleys.
Yeah,
this
we've got
week,
a Halloween
we got a Halloween
episode.
Themed Patreon about Slender Man.
Yeah, I deep dived into Slender Man.
Of course.
It's crazy. And guys, don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating and review. We love reviews. We need more of them. But the best review you can give us is to tell your friends
tell
about
your
our
friends.
Podcast. Tag us in a
tell
little story.
Friends.
We'll share it. The whole shebang.
Yeah, please. You know we're online.
Yep.
And we're going to repost it.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we have a very special guest.
So special.
He's an actor, comedian, mm-hmm. writer, and host of the HeadGum Podcast. It's Jeffrey James!
Wow.
Yes!
Oh, man.
Wow.
See, I saved
fan.
The energy until we start.
Yeah, you didn't blow your load.
I wasted all in the first 5 minutes.
Well, you did blow your load.
Yeah.
Speaking of
Sorry
loads.
Sorry about texting you about that.
Yeah, thank you. Speaking of loads, you live in L.A. But you're currently on an extended stay in New York City, so we simply have to ask, even mm-hmm. though we know the truth,
yeah.
which one is better?
Yeah.
New York,
New York.
LA.
Yeah.
New York, tell us why.
Look, people have been asking when I say that I'm here for 2 months, why? You know? And the
why
answer
not?
Is it's better,
yeah.
dude. You can walk everywhere.
Yes.
There's public transportation. I will say I live right by a train station in LA. And I'm trying to make it
mm-hmm.
a public transportation town. It's not easy.
It's not
fast.
Yeah, that's hard for one person to do.
Yeah, I feel like people, there's a movement of people that are trying to whatever. And with LA, I mean, the transit, because, you know, I'm a transit girly.
Mm-hmm.
I love walkability, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But the LA problem is the, quote, the last mile. And it's like you can get to anywhere like pretty easily, but it's that last mile
yeah.
of like between the train station and your house or between the train station and where you want to go that fucking kills you.
Yeah.
Or the bus. Yeah.
Emotionally or sometimes tangibly.
Yeah.
You're dead. Yeah.
You
yeah.
will be lost.
Yeah.
You will tumble down a hill into a ravine.
Yeah. I was listening to episodes in, you know, anticipation of this.
Mm-hmm.
When you guys were in LA, your the Vinny episode.
Mm-hmm.
I was gathering you guys
had to
both hate
to
the shit out
Indian.
Of it. Yeah, yeah,
sorry.
Exactly right. No, and I want to talk.
Yep,
to you. So
yep.
you're biracial.
No.
Are you not?
I'm Dominican, so basically yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Racially yes, but
that's cool.
Biracial, but mono-ethnic.
Okay.
In many
that's,
ways,
that's
yes.
Cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Biracial,
okay.
but yes.
We'll
ask
get
me.
There.
Ask me.
Anything.
Is that was? Is there anything?
Well,
on
you kept
the
saying biracial. I was like, oh my god, we have another. And then there's Vinny. who I obviously, yeah, you kept saying he was Indian passing, which I did think he was. I thought he was from the same part of India that my ancestors are from, and he mentioned it.
Yeah.
Tamil.
Yeah, yeah, because he gets that a lot.
It's the Catholic last name, Jeffrey James. That's my dad is Indian.
Interesting. I did not know that.
I meet from Boston is like, why is your last name James? And I'm like,
From Boston specifically? Is it because they're racist?
No, yeah, they're racist. Yeah.
Oh, because of Catholic. Okay. I thought you were kind of like a Mas Perricone where his mom's Indian, his dad's Italian. So I was like, I thought you had a white father.
I think if I was Italian, I'd be more insufferable.
Or, you know, Irish or something.
Yeah. Which you also aptly were like, you are white. We have to set the record straight on that. And if
you're Irish?
Italian side is white.
Oh, Italian?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think like maybe 60 years ago, you wouldn't have been white. But certainly in 2024, you're Italian, you're Irish, you're white. Sorry. Yeah.
Yep. I get really pissed off. I'm like, and we're this close to Columbus Day.
but getting that incised about Columbus Day, that's white behavior.
Oh yeah, no, that's absolutely. I'm not even. My mom's side is pretty Italian, but we're not mad about Columbus Day Italian. I will say that.
That's cool.
Yeah, like mad that Columbus Day isn't in existence anymore.
Yeah, mad that people want to change it to Indigenous Peoples Day or whatever. There's a Sopranos episode about it. Tony Soprano doesn't like it.
Yeah. Doesn't like that people are getting mad at Columbus?
Yeah.
Or
if you can believe it, Tony Soprano's on the wrong side of that issue.
Well, I just feel like, listen, Italian Americans, you guys got a long list of shit to be pissed about. Starting with Jersey Shore, and then Columbus Day is probably the last of your worries, yeah. I would say.
I feel like a lot of people, Italian or otherwise, wouldn't even be like, oh, Christopher Columbus was Italian.
No, they claim him pretty hard.
I mean, no, he was, but I'm like, that's not where I feel like Italian pride, like, gets lies.
There's a subsect where, yes, but I will say...
The far right, yeah.
The far right Italians. Okay, do we have anything else we want to say about any other ethnicities or groups?
What I was going to say is that I hate all... No, I'm kidding. But I explained Dominican as, like... Dominicans in New York now are like Italians in New York in the 60s.
That's cool.
And then I said, in a few years, we're going to be all the cops. So I do that in my stand-up. So you better fucking clap. Because I do that in my stand-up set. I said, hi, I'm Dominican. No one claps. And I'm like, okay, fuck you. No one's getting any bodega sandwiches anyway. But yeah, so New York is better because... you could walk places. I think the food.
Everything's old, too. I love that shit.
Everything's old.
Yeah.
Why'd you look like eyes with me with old? I mean, hello.
Because I thought you would appreciate the history. You're talking about the 60s.
Everything's old in New York. Hold on a second. I am young past.
I like being in buildings that were built before Prohibition. Mm, and I'm not going to apologize for that.
We won't ask you to. We're going to ask you to apologize at some point today.
Not yet, but halfway through, I'm going to kind of explode.
Okay, well, yeah. I feel like now's the best time to be visiting New York in the fall.
I know. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Turning. It's in the best time that we are in. That period of time where I never know what to wear, and it is hot today, and I am wearing a sweater and a turtleneck.
I almost texted you, but I'm like, I don't want to be overbearing, but
you clocked me on that.
It's 80 degrees today, and tomorrow it's going to be 82.
Thank you for telling me that, because I would have worn the wrong thing tomorrow as well. I have access to the weather app. I can look at the weather anytime. I simply don't remember to, and then I'm already out of the house, and I'm down four flights of stairs, and I'm like, well, I'm not walking back up.
Same thing. I'm wearing a thermal. This is like specifically
No, you're crazy.
Built,
so, you guys are crazy. I like always underdress. Like I'm always dressed because after one block I get hot. Like I walk a little bit. That doesn't even matter if it's like 60 degrees. Like if I walk two blocks, you're already sweating.
So. It also raises by 10 degrees when you go to the subway, I feel like.
It gets extremely hot.
70 down there.
Yeah, especially sometimes in the winter you'll go down there and it's like steamy. Okay, Jeffrey.
We love it.
We've got to get into the episode, but before we do, I have to ask you, you know, you had the honor of performing with me in the 2023 CBS Showcase.
Yes, honor with you, you know.
You can tell when Elise writes the questions and when I write the questions. No, I'm just going to say that.
Millie's is always like based on the person's biography, and I'm always like, if you could talk to a dog. But what was it that first struck you about me as a performer and comedic talent?
Nothing about his background, nothing about his life. It's just, is New York better and why am I the best?
Holy shit. You said prepare nothing.
Life.
I mean, the joie de vivre, the joy to life.
That's what I was hoping you would say. Is joie de vivre.
No, you have a great voice. Like, everything you say to me is funny.
Thank you on the podcast. Thank you on the podcast.
We'll talk after for sure about the way you just kind of, pigeonholed me.
Now I'm going to ask you questions. I'm just going to ask a little mini question about your online presence.
I do have a gun, yes.
Oh, okay, well, that's very LA of you. Huntington Beach, you're not even LA, that's Orange County of you. So Elise is a great performer, but also you have a very chaotic presence online too. Both of you guys, chaos agents.
I mean, you guys came on the HeadGum Podcast like this, or like almost a year ago, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, go drink kvass. Was that not the best joke you've ever heard?
That was a great joke. I was trying to remember, as I was writing the questions, I did think about them a little bit. And I was trying to remember what we did on the episode, and I was like, we were served clams.
Clams Casino, and it stunk up the fucking room.
Maybe the worst first impression on Millie I've ever made on a human being in my life.
We walked in.
Because I don't eat clams. And also, honestly, though, they looked appetizing. Because I would have ate it. If I ate clams, I would have ate it.
They came down like 10 blocks, the clams.
It didn't matter. It had like a cool Parmesan crust on it.
I was trying to get Oysters Rockefeller, but I couldn't find it on DoorDash. Yeah,
I didn't eat the clams for a couple reasons. One of which is like I just feel like mentally I want to know if I'm going to be having clams. Yeah, and then also we had very recently had a butterbeer at the Harry Potter store, actually. And I just feel like the clams and the butterbeer, I don't know what that's going to do to somebody.
Yeah. And what is the HeadGum Podcast?
It's like a... Am I plugging it? Yeah, it's like a panel show.
Yeah.
But hosted by a maniac. It's like Between Two Ferns meets Taskmaster.
We played nonsense games. It's
also
fun.
That was the last couple weeks of the year I tried to take like 2 weeks off, which, you know, in some ways is the easiest job in the world. In other ways, it's still it's just the easiest job in the world. But I always bank episodes. And so I was very stressed that day.
Yeah. Well, just giving chaotic energy.
It was fun.
It was giving kvassy energy.
Yeah, but I was just like, for people who don't know Jeffrey and don't know what the HeadGum Podcast is, it was like an introduction, and you're just giving excuses as to why you're mentally unwell. So good.
Yeah. Great.
Are you guys?
Mm-hmm. Are we on mentally unwell? Yes.
We
talk about it every episode.
Yeah.
Well, you said you're raw dogging ADHD.
Yeah.
I'm raw dogging ADHD, but the serotonin is not producing itself.
Right.
We're on some anti.
Wellbutrin, what are we
thinking? We're on Lexapro. Lexapro
awesome.
Generic.
Awesome.
Someone on Reddit asked for a recommend. They basically said, I have severe ADHD. What's a podcast for me? And we were recommended.
Yeah.
So,
that's good.
That was pretty beautiful.
Yeah.
Speaking of our podcast, should we get
into
the subject matter?
Yes, let's go.
Okay, so before we get into, I'm on Discourse today. We're going to do two kind of like mini discourses.
Of course.
But before that, we have an update. I was thinking, I was like, should we call this segment software update, system update? Either way, this is an update on something we've talked about in the past, and it's also accursed content.
Software update in which, like, whether you want the update or not, we're giving it to you.
Yeah, exactly. It's
like,
being
you
downloaded.
Have no choice, and your shit will turn off.
Yeah, exactly.
In the middle of the night to fucking force you to do whatever.
So on the Claire Parker episode, we talked about a man named Brian Johnson, who is a tech bro that wants to live forever through a combination of an algorithm he's invented called the Blueprint and by injecting himself with his son's blood.
Yep.
So, Jeffrey, are you familiar?
I know this guy.
You're familiar with the guy who wants to live forever?
Can I say he looks worse than he did before he started?
It's so funny because he's like, everyone says I look 18. I'm like, you look exactly your age.
Yeah, he looks 40-something.
Yeah, he's like 40-something.
He
looks 40-something.
Died, and then they like...
brought him back. Yeah, there's something ungodly about him.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's committed to it. And he actually provided us with an update on his latest procedure. And, and so this is a tweet from him. And Jeffrey, I actually wanted you to read it because I think that the characterization, I think you could really get into it.
Completed my first total plasma exchange, TPE. Removing all the plasma in my body and replacing with albumin. This is different than what I did last year. Removing 1 liter of plasma from my body and then replacing it with 1 liter of plasma from my blood boy at Talmadge Johnson _.
I gave my 1 liter of plasma to my father. This time around, there's no blood boy involved. TPE removes all of my body's plasma and replaces it with albumin. The therapy objectives are to remove toxins from my body. The evidence is emergent. Others use TPE for autoimmune disorders, blood disorders, neurological conditions, transplant-related complications, and replacement of missing plasma components.
Oh, my God.
As we normally do, we completed a bunch of baseline measurements before this therapy, including toxins, but other things, too, such as speed of aging, organ ages, microplastics, and other biomarkers.
Oh, my God.
I'll do 6 total treatments. The operator, who's been doing TPE for 9 years, said my plasma is the cleanest he's ever seen. By far. He couldn't get over it. When we finished, he couldn't bring himself to throw it away. He was imagining all the good that it could do in the world. On people's faces as PRP therapy, in their body, rejuvenating organs. There's probably a path to auction off or donate my plasma on this next go-around. Liquid gold. Remember that when my father received 1 liter of my plasma, his speed of aging dropped by 25 years and stayed that way for 6 months. We don't know if it was from my super plasma or if it was from removing his plasma, but the results are interesting nonetheless. The whole procedure just took under two hours.
Wow. Beautifully done, Jeffrey.
Fucking disgusting.
He says the words "my plasma" so many times.
This is fucking gross, Doug. My mouth was like dropped. Like
when he's like, the operator was so impressed with my plasma.
He wanted to keep it in a necklace.
And here's the thing. He did keep his plasma.
No.
And
I don't
here's a picture
see
of him.
I,
why is it? It looks like apple cider vinegar.
It looks like thicker.
It looks like ghee.
Yeah, it looks like ghee.
It looks like ghee.
Wow, racist, Elise. Not when again, we have an Indian guest.
I'm trying to make Jeffrey feel comfortable.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, it looks like tikka masala.
An old shawl, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
There is, if you guys want to look up the original tweet, there is a picture of him holding a bag of his super plasma, as he would call it.
At least we'll put it on our Instagram.
It will go on the Instagram. My jaw was on the fucking floor when I was served this image.
I have to say, I've lived I think, charmed life. Like, it hasn't been that hard. Life's still not that great. Like, you want to live that much longer?
Yeah.
For what?
Yeah. It's... Also, him referring to his son as his blood boy.
That's really not into. And a liter is a lot.
Yeah.
A liter is a lot of fucking blood. I'm sorry. This is so freaky. He looks weird. I've seen that on my Twitter feed. There's just things like on Twitter where I'm just like, I can't even engage. I can't even click. I don't want to read more. I don't like this. I'm scrolling past and I see some pretty crazy shit.
I'm not interested.
I'm not interested in this. There was a mouse with a fat ass that I clicked on and I engaged with that. Have you seen the New York Post mouse? There's a mouse that's spotted
mouse.
With a big ass. I was more intrigued with the mouse with the big ass than this. I'll send you the mouse with the big ass.
Yeah, send it and we'll put it on the Instagram.
Put it on the Instagram. It's a big ass mouse.
This is the perfect segue. So I deleted my Twitter earlier this year.
Mm,
this is a podcast about being online. Because my timeline kept being like street fights, people getting the shit beat out of them.
Okay,
like,
but you got to click on that.
Everyone's
like,
saying that. I'm like, I swear to God, I actually was clicking like not interested or whatever you can do.
On
like,
the street fights.
Yes. I also never started watching street fights. They just started feeding it to me. I'm like, I only follow other like comedians in like sports. It must be the sports shit.
Maybe. Yeah, sports. Yeah. I do feel like the algorithm on Twitter got less precise when Elon took
Thank
over.
Thank you. Yes, exactly.
It sometimes won't even load. Like it just will. Like it will. Like on. I think the Twitter for Android shit is just completely fucked.
Yeah.
Like it just won't load sometimes. But
anti-Android bias at Twitter.
I know,
of course.
Jesus, of course, but. I will say, I do enjoy a fight video once in a while.
I
need to know they're not dead.
Yeah.
If I know they're not dead and everyone's
sometimes
okay.
Sometimes they look gone.
Yeah, I can't do that.
It depends on how big of a fight it is. Like one, if people get a couple punches in, whatever, I can't see like real harm.
Yeah.
Coming.
Like
no,
blood
it was all real
or
harm.
Jumping.
It was
yeah.
trauma.
Yeah.
But because I've been off since February, I brought a list of tweets to be a little bit more online.
Wow. And I thought I could prepare something.
I just thought I could sprinkle them throughout the episode.
Tweets that you wanted to tweet or
that I didn't have a platform for.
Wow. Okay. Platform. And this is the perfect platform.
Let's go.
So this one, this is tweet number one. Okay. It would be a photo of me holding two loaves of homemade brioche.
Okay.
And it would, the caption would be, is somebody going to match my yeast?
Okay. All right.
Okay. Okay.
I would like it.
I would like it.
I wouldn't retweet. That one would be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Now that likes are private, I would like it.
Yeah. Now that no one else could see, yeah. I'd be like, and I'd probably be like, LOL, you're so dumb in the comment.
That's cool. Yeah. I like the reply. That's good for the algorithm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is good.
Is that it?
I can do them all at once.
I want to hear like two more.
Yeah.
But it'd be a photo of me with Crackle and Pop, and it's this and Snap.
What do you mean?
You know, this and Yap?
Oh, this and see, Yap, I'm maybe not familiar with.
Okay.
I have been called out on our previous iteration of our podcast that I do have an ex that looks like Snap, Crackle, and Pop. The one with the scarf looks like they're not, my French ex.
Kind of
yeah.
Hot. I mean, I don't know if that's cool.
That's totally my
type. They're not
type.
Unattractive.
They're not unattractive, but it is my type.
They're
of
not like Tony the Tiger.
Yeah, well, Tony the Tiger is more Elise's type. My type is like Twinkie, skinny.
Somebody who could just blow away with
the fucking
wind.
Trix rabbit.
Yeah. Slenderman, really.
Trix. I would say the Nesquik rabbit's more my speed. Oh, I said Slenderman too, yeah.
Yeah.
Millie's type is Slenderman. Anyway.
Yeah, sorry. One more tweet.
Yeah, okay, give us one more. And then we'll, as we go to the different segments, we'll pause and let you read more that you have.
So you guys know Howl's Moving Castle?
Yes.
Sure, yeah. So, Studio Ghibli?
Yeah. Well, this is Howl's New York Seltzer.
Okay.
Okay. And is it like, is this like a... like an image tweet that you're editing, or are you just saying How's New York Seltzer? Because I think if you just tweeted How's New York Seltzer, it might not.
Isn't there a seltzer company named How's?
Yes.
How's New York Seltzer.
Yeah, it is How's New York Seltzer. So I think that if you just tweeted those words, people would just think you were shouting out the seltzer, but maybe if you did like a Photoshop.
A photo edited.
It could be two photos. It could be just a photo of me holding it. I think it's the perfect tweet.
One time I did a tweet where, because famously in Insecure, Issa Rae lives in an apartment complex called The Dunes.
Yeah.
And it was when Dune, maybe one or two was coming out, or Dune was coming out. And I was like, can't wait to watch the latest episode of Insecure. And I like Photoshopped Issa Rae in front of the big sandworm. And that did pretty
funny.
So like some
That's
kind of thing.
Shit.
Yeah. I think that this could go. I think and depending on where it goes, maybe we'll retweet.
Once it goes viral, then you'll bandwagon.
I'll say this. My pride of joy, I'm not going to call her out, but there's a comedian who had like a little video on Twitter. Wasn't doing that much numbers. I'm like, let me retweet this. Then, because a bigger comedian, a famous comedian who had a late night show follows me, they retweeted her. And then this girl's whole presence blew up. And now she's like a big influencer. And I'm like, I know it's
good. She's called out because I feel like she owes you money.
She owed me something. Okay. And also, we both went out for an audition and she booked it. And I'm like, she probably booked it because she had more followers than me. And that made me a little salty. So,
Tell me who it is off air?
I will.
Yeah.
We got more discourses.
Yeah, we discourse have more discourses. Did you want to give this update before I give? Because we have an update that was actually sent to us by a member of Grass Nation.
And I was trying to look in the DMs, but I couldn't find it. A few weeks ago, when the grass hole was Mark Robinson, the North Carolina GOP candidate for governor, who was found on a message board, porn site message board, Nude Africa, the quote, most amateur black porn site on the internet. The way that he was identified was one, he used his name on the thing.
He was using his full legal name.
People knew his full legal name. A lot of the timelines matched up, and then he used the same, like, whatever, handle or whatever. And we called out that he had all these weird sayings that he would say. Like, I don't give
a porn. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I don't give a frog's fat ass, or I don't give a frog's behind.
Yeah. I did like.
We liked it. And then he's like, he kept saying gag a maggot. Yeah. Gag a maggot. So we're like, what the fuck is that? Like, that's so stupid.
Yeah.
We don't like that. this girl explained that it's in our DMs. She DM'd us. She's like, hey, just so you guys know, gag a maggot is something they say in the South when something is super disgusting. Mm. Because maggots are born in the trash and born in nasty circumstances, that if it would gag a maggot,
then it's really nasty.
Wow. Yeah. So that's when he would say gag a maggot.
That's what it is. Wow, Southern people do have a beautiful way with words.
I know. I was thinking about Kiss My Grits.
Kiss My Grits hits every time. If someone told me to kiss their grits,
yeah.
I would be shook.
Yeah, gag a maggot.
Gag a maggot.
The drawl in and of itself is like the American version of a French accent, too. It's the best to listen to. Mm. Yeah.
And guess what? The plasma shit, that would make a maggot gag.
Yeah.
Wow, yes.
That plasma gag a maggot.
1,000%. Have you guys seen that TikTok trend that's like people read Shakespeare in a Southern accent and it sounds like amazing?
Yeah.
Like it's really well suited.
See, your algorithm is crazy.
Speaking of my algorithm,
yes.
Let's get into our first mini discourse for today. These are basically two topics that I felt like were not full juice discourses, but are super viral online. This first one is very much in my wheelhouse. Millie and I discussed, should this go in Grasshole? But ultimately, this is so in my wheelhouse.
Yeah,
we were like,
I didn't
put
have
it
the,
in the discourse.
Capacity to.
I was like, Millie's gonna. I would be texting Millie all the background information for this and be like, well, these are the context. So
I'm just like, I give. I
we're gonna talk about
control.
Cynthia Erivo's reaction to the Wicked poster.
Is she in the original Wicked?
No, you gotta give the background.
So
this
now
is
we're
why,
doing exactly.
See, this is the shit I didn't want to do.
And listen, I promise we the background is coming. So before we do that, I do want to ask, what is both of your relationship to Wicked in this present moment? Have you seen Wicked? Do
no.
you know what it is?
I mean, I loved Wicked growing up.
Okay, great.
My sister was Elphaba.
Where?
She's the green one?
Yeah.
Where?
Yeah, like
for what? Yeah.
In high school, on Broadway?
For Halloween, twice.
Okay, that's
you gotta say that first.
For Halloween?
One time my sister dressed up for Halloween, not yeah.
My sister was Elphaba to have.
It's like on Broadway.
Okay. No, I wish.
Millie, what's your do you like? You know, it's about the Wicked.
I know it's
West?
About the thing. Mm. I know it's like popular.
Nice.
I know it's kind of like a revisited. I kind of feel like it was Maleficent before Maleficent. Like
that's not wrong.
Like the movie Maleficent is basically like recontextualizing this classic story where we're giving context and all that. But I'm not really a Broadway girly.
Yeah.
So that's my kind of understanding of Wicked.
So you're exactly right. You got it. It's like the story of the Wicked Witch of the West, and you find out she's not actually bad, and her and Glinda were best friends. And there's also this whole thing with like people being racist to like animals. It's like there's a lot happening.
Yeah, okay, cool.
there's a lot going
the flying
on.
Monkeys?
The flying monkeys are different, but it's like they have that professor who's a goat. Peter Dinklage is going to play him, and everybody's starting to make they're being mean to the goat,
right.
And they're like being prejudiced to the goat.
Okay.
I'm saying right. I don't know.
That's a different part, but that's a whole subplot. If you see the movie, Peter Dinklage, I'm sure, is going to bring it to life beautifully. Anyway, it's a 2003 musical originally starring Idina Menzel and Kristen Chenoweth. The two-part movie starring Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande comes out November 22nd. This is the basic
information. So two separate Wickeds, kind of like how White House Down and the other one about the White House falling down came out in the same year.
What are you talking about? Harry Potter, the last one, part one, part two.
Yeah, that's probably way more.
Oh, so they're the same
now,
creators, it's the same
studio. Yeah, it's John M. Chu directed it, and basically, I mean, I guess it's going to be act one and act two split into two movies.
Okay,
yeah, Andrew, our producer, is saying it's
we
act
do have
one,
a gay
one,
here
two.
To correct us. Fact check us, Andrew.
And, yeah, so the first part comes out, like, November 22nd, and then I imagine, and then the second part comes out
next year,
the following Thanksgiving. Okay, yeah. Wow, okay, great. Well,
I'd watch it, like, but I'm not like, I just don't. Elise is just in a level of engagement in that I, you know, I just am not there.
I will say that I took Danny to see Wicked one year on Christmas. We were like still in the city, and at intermission, he looks at me and he goes, is this about the Wizard of Oz? I'm like, they've sang One Short Day in the Emerald City. They said the Wizard of Oz. We're going to go meet the Wizard of Oz. Like, it's not.
And that is the love of Elise's life.
And that's my husband. And this, which is important, is the playbill. So this is the original playbill of Wicked. It's Glinda in her Glinda attire whispering into the ear of Elphaba. Elphaba's eyes are covered by her hat, and she is smiling.
She's coy as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's like the playbill, but it's also like a poster that's been in New York City, on subways, everywhere for at least a decade.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, two decades. It came out in 2003, and this is the image that is associated with
Wicked.
And
it's animated.
Yes, it's like a drawn image prior to the movie. You've probably seen it.
Oh my God!
So this is the new Wicked poster, which is obviously based on the old Wicked poster, but famously, as you will come to find out, Cynthia Erivo's eyes are not covered. She's staring directly into camera. And she's not really doing the little smile thing. How do you guys feel about this poster?
It's the eyes. The eyes have me.
Yeah, I just feel like it's a different twist on this iconic thing. But it is more like
you don't feel violated by the way she's staring at you?
You know, musicals by nature are violent.
I just
feel like she's giving an emotion that wasn't there. Wow. And like, it's just depth and all this shit.
You guys
like,
are perfectly representing the two sides of what we're about to talk about. This is kind of crazy.
Yeah, no, it's really
I'm like, Andrew's sitting here being like, oh my God, they're saying all this stuff.
Bad or not listen to this.
I know. Cynthia Erivo will find us after this.
If you're going to match the playbill, why not match it exactly?
Well,
so okay. So, Jeffrey, this is the reaction many fans had. The new poster comes out. Some people like it. Some people don't like it. People start doing fan edits of the poster to make a version where the hat is covering her eyes and she's smiling.
But so the yes, okay is what are you reacting to?
It's better. It's which,
what is this?
There's no eyes.
This is the fan edit without the eyes
the
and
red
where
lipstick
she's smiling.
Because the other one, she looks like Shrek. This one, she looks beautiful.
Yeah, because the lips have the contrast.
Yeah, the lips exactly are green in the other one, too.
So yeah, the fan edit has blacked out her eyes and made the lips red with a smirk.
Yes.
Yeah, and I don't know the discourse. I'm not like trying to put on like a take. I had a visceral reaction to the first one. I didn't like it whatsoever.
Guess what?
You agree?
You and Cynthia Erivo are going to have words because Cynthia Erivo posted the image that I just showed you, this fan edit. She posted an Instagram story and she said, "This is the wildest, most offensive thing I have seen. Equal to that awful AI of us fighting. Equal to people posing the question, is your pussy green?" It's blacked out, but the question that she's referring to is your pussy green? We'll come back to is your pussy green.
Yeah.
None of this is funny. None of it is cute. It degrades me. It degrades us. The original poster is an illustration. I am a real life human being who chose to look right down the barrel of the camera to you, the viewer, because without words, we communicate with our eyes. Our poster is an homage, not an imitation. To edit my face and hide my eyes is to erase me. And that is just deeply hurtful. Reactions to the reaction.
So am I an asshole or
no,
are you guys an asshole because you kind of laid the trap, right?
Listen.
No, but this is perfect. A perfect example of
I don't think you're an asshole. I think that Cynthia Erivo might be a little bit of a grasshole.
Yeah, but also she, it's just also like actors and some singers. So singers, period. Actors, period. Take themselves too seriously.
Yeah.
People who sing and act are fucking so up their own ass.
Yeah.
It's the same. It's the Venn diagram between those people and the people I'm about to say is a circle. The people who are like, I'm a storyteller.
Yeah.
Like, storytelling is important. I get that. But like, nobody's really, you know.
Wait, you're saying like people who do like Moth Story Hour or people who like
actors, singers are like,
who
I'm
call
just
themselves
a storyteller.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah,
not
ridiculous.
Really.
She's up her own ass. She can't take a joke. She's blah, blah, blah. You're in a fucking remake of like, you're literally a witch and like, it's musical and like, Bo and Yang is in a uniform and like, Jonathan Bailey's supposed to be in high school. Like, this whole thing is
They're at university.
Oh, university.
They're at Shiz University, Millie.
Okay,
it's important.
Sorry.
That's where the goat teaches.
Okay. So they're supposed to be in college. But bitch, she's like almost 40 and she's in college.
I know.
Like, like, get a little sense of humor. You know what I mean? Go touch grass, also, whatever.
That post, I get the first one was an illustration. She's a real person. But I'm like, that poster's heavily edited. Like,
yeah,
it's kind of also an illustration.
Well, she just kind of sucks.
She's kind of idiot. Is a grasshole. Yeah. That's what's going
to... She's like J.K. Rowling and like she's always getting into it.
Yeah, but she's not...
She's not transphobic.
J.K. Rowling, but she is... She has done fucked up stuff and she is... Her internet use is questionable. Yeah. So okay.
I feel like you should take that again and say she is and just start lying about her. Why not?
We'll just start putting that out there and see if we can get her to respond. She would respond. And the reason I know that is because, okay, so one of the things she references in that original post is the weird AI of us fighting. This is what she's talking about. This is the video.
Are you guys excited for the movie? Like, are people excited for the movie? Or people,
like, you can't get tickets for the first week.
Wow. I think that it's going to be good.
All the tickets are good. It looks. Yeah,
so it's just the poster people have an issue with.
People take issue with the people didn't like when the trailer came out. They were like, the coloring on this movie is like that weird.
People
like,
are going to always bitch about it.
People always have stuff, but I think the overall vibe is for people to be very excited, and people think Cynthia and Ariana Grande are going to be very good, and I tend to agree with them. Okay, this is the weird AI that she's referring to. It's like them morphed into a cat fight.
That's how my cat treats my jeans.
It's very weird. The point that I want to make about this is that it's extremely weird. It's a very weird image. Again, I will post it on the Instagram. And Cynthia Erivo has to be so deep in the comments to be seeing something like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an extremely
She's like searching strange. Her name.
Yeah.
I mean, Zac Efron, I forget how I came across this, but he was saying there was like a period of my life for years where I would wake up, have coffee, and Google my name.
I mean, I've done it once or twice, and it's not fun, but...
But once you're in Wicked...
To be Zac Efron to do that, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Right? Like, once you're in Wicked, that's the first thing I'm going to give up, is being like, I'm not going to... If I was the star of the Wicked two-part movie, the way I would have no idea what people were saying about the fucking poster or the trailer or any of it, like, I would be so far removed from that.
But it's just... In context to Cynthia's...
Well, exactly.
Like, I don't know if you're going to get to it yet.
Yes,
but,
we are. But first I have to give one other piece of context to her Instagram story, which is your pussy green?
Yeah, sorry. I'm
so
fucking sorry.
Is your pussy green is a decades-old Wicked meme. Because of this photo that was taken on the New York subway in 2013 where someone had written on a subway ad, is your pussy green? And it looks like Glinda is whispering, is your pussy green, to Elphaba?
That's kind of the best. That's funny. But that's the best thing about subway and public transportation ads is that people will make a joke.
Yeah.
It's like the original meme is like graffitied subway ad.
And this is like the combination because it's a graffitied subway ad that became a meme.
Yeah.
So Is Your Pussy Green is well known within the Wicked fan community. Yeah. It predates the movie by like almost 10 years.
Yeah.
And yes, when the poster came out, people started photoshopping Is Your Pussy Green, but that's just an homage.
Yeah.
That's so
she's not even deep enough in Wicked lore to be speaking on it.
Yeah, it's not about your pussy per se.
Yeah.
Your pussy is fine. Your pussy is
good.
It's not green.
It's
Elphaba.
Exactly.
Wait, what's her name?
Elphaba. Yeah. No, you got it. It's about Elphaba's pussy, which...
is probably green. I'm sorry,
guess what?
Dude.
Which? It is green because in the book, because the Wicked the musical is based off a book, and in the book it is actually explicitly stated that her pussy is green.
In what
in
scene?
What context?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
I haven't read the book, but apparently the book is a lot more like
sexual.
Yes.
No
Wait,
way.
Do they fuck like Glinda and the Elphaba? Or does
I don't
she
think
fuck it, someone else?
No. She probably fucks Fiero.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think she either looks at her own
she
pussy.
She queened a flying monkey, I think.
Yeah, yeah, she dumps everybody kind of in the book. The musical is very different, but yes, in the book it is established that her pussy is green.
That's
so that's
funny.
Just some Wicked lore for you as well. But
that would be a good like pair of like, but novelty like panties. Yeah, just like
green
with
pussy?
A green pussy
in a way.
I'm
yeah.
so glad. Like you just so much chaos. You're thinking of green pants. Like you, where's
just
your mind?
Like, it's just it'd be like one of those shirts where it's like it makes your body look like a jacked guy or like that you have like a bikini on,
right,
but it's like
right,
you
right,
know,
right.
So yeah, okay.
Full gash and ass like, of Elphabut. That's really good. Wow. I feel like we're creating an Etsy store.
Title of Ep might be Elphabut, unfortunately. Millie's walked out. Okay, Millie just sent an email saying she's done with the podcast.
I've touched grass and I'm never coming back.
9 months later, you gave me a second chance. And this is how it's going.
He said
Elphabut. Well, there's no clams today, so. But we're talking about green pussies. I mean, whatever, right? So,
Okay. Here's the thing. As we've alluded to a couple of times now, the thing is, this popped off online. People were like, literally, what are you talking about? Like, this is the wildest, most offensive thing you've ever seen. That's crazy. But
as a black woman, Cynthia, as a black lesbian, this is the most...
this is the most offensive thing I've ever seen. But people were who've been in the Broadway community for a long time were quick to point out this is actually Cynthia's vibe online. She once went off on a random person, basically, on Twitter, who had tweeted out their fan cast for the Hercules live movie and included Cynthia Erivo as one of the muses. And she retweeted it and was basically like, I would never be in the ensemble. I am way too talented to be in the ensemble.
Sorry,
this is disrespectful
to
me. And it's like, this is just a random person.
And also, like, the point of the muses in the Hercules thing are, like, black women who are great singers. Like, it's a group of them.
Yeah.
So it's like, that would... It's not crazy for someone to say Cynthia would be here. Like...
Do I think that it would be owed to Cynthia for her to be the head muse? Absolutely. Yeah. She's very, very talented, and I don't think that she should stand for one of the lesser muses. And if she doesn't want to do the project, that's fine.
That's fine.
But also, this is fake, and someone just made it up in their mind.
Yeah, someone just was having fun. And I will say, so you're giving the background for Broadway. I'll say on Black Twitter and in the Black community, she's had a weird reputation because she's from England.
Yeah.
And she is African, like, I think she might be Nigerian or something. And there is, like, inter-diaspora conversation where she has said kind of negative things about black Americans.
Yeah, she had a Twitter reply once. It's the context of it is, like, hard to explain, but it basically the gist of it is that she called black Americans ghetto.
Yeah, which is like It is like an inter-diaspora thing where, like, you know, people who are Nigerian-American or, like, African-American in the more natural sense of whatever, like, immigrants and stuff, or even from the UK, like, they have these opinions on black Americans. So a lot of people didn't like her for that.
Yeah.
And she's had, like, a few different tweets where she says that. And also, this is slightly unrelated, but she's currently dating Lena Waithe.
Yeah.
And Lena Waithe was fully married when they started dating.
Yes.
So people have been, Black Twitter has been aware of Cynthia Erivo's weirdness for a while, and then it's all intersected.
Well,
into this.
So this is where the Venn diagram of Black Twitter and Broadway Twitter come together is Cynthia Erivo's Twitter, because Cynthia Erivo was also very heavily involved in this whole thing that honestly is like so long of a discourse we can't even get into it, but it's about the closure of this play, this musical called Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812, which closed on Broadway for all these different reasons. But Cynthia Erivo's tweets were a big factor the online fervor that ended to the closing of this musical. That's honestly a search history topic.
That you're going to do.
I don't think Millie will be tackling that one.
I don't think that she is like J.K. Rowling, like with the trend, but I'm like, she is kind of in that top category of which I feel like Kanye West, Elon Musk, J.K. Rowling, 50 Cent, people who just need to not be
online at all,
or as much as they are.
And well, then are online.
Kevin Durant does the same. Like, he had a burner Twitter account, it came out, for the NBA fans. And I'm like, you're so rich, and your dream came true. Why is this you're spending your time?
Well, it's tough. It's tough because at the end of the day, like, you are human, you are going to look at stuff. She's off Twitter, so that's why she, like, posted this on
Instagram.
But to round out this topic, I do want us to watch Ariana Grande got asked about this.
Oh, God.
I think this is the most expert piece of media training I've ever seen. Hats off to her. We're going to watch the clip of her answering this question.
The AI of it all. Obviously, Cynthia was upset about it. What was your reaction when you saw it? You know, I think it's very complicated because I find AI so conflicting and troublesome sometimes, but I think it's just kind of such a massive adjustment period, and this is something that is such a, it's so much bigger than us, and the fans are going to have fun and make their edits, but of course, you know, I...
Sometimes it goes too far.
I think so. And I have so much respect for my sister, Cynthia, and I love her so much. And, you know, it's just a big adjustment period. You know, it's like so much stimulation about something that's so much bigger than us. So, yeah.
Word salad.
Yeah, said a lot.
Expertly done nothing. Word salad, I feel like. Because I think Ariana Grande knows that that response was...
insane.
Yeah.
Insane. And I feel like she... Ariana Grande has her issues for sure, but she has more of a sense of humor.
Yeah, she definitely does.
And she's
does.
More in and on the joke and all that stuff than, you know, and I've heard other people say, like, it's because she's a pop star and has been, like, famous in this bigger kind of way than Cynthia, and Cynthia's adjusting to, like, this next level of fame. But Ariana,
and she grew up with the internet and like was a child star. Yeah. Like she never, yeah.
Yeah, I just, it
wasn't new to her as an adult.
It was so interesting because you, like, when the, well, first of all, I think the interviewer is confused about the AI. Because
the image wasn't AI.
The interviewer, number one, doesn't know what he's talking about. So he's asking her about AI. That's not actually what the, there was an AI video. But the thing she's really upset about is, like, a Photoshop that a fan made, which is different.
And the fan said it took him 10 minutes.
Yeah. Like, it's not, it's really not that big of a deal. But it is funny because I feel like you can see on Ariana Grande's face how she's like, yeah, you know, the fans are going to do what they're going to do, but I love my sister. Because that's a big part of the Wicked rollout, is this whole, like, friendship between Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo, and they're very much, like, it seems like they did genuinely, like, have a really good collaboration.
Well, there's a lot of relationships being made on that.
Yeah.
On the Wicked set. And that's an,
And that's another discourse.
That's another discourse to Ariana breaking up a family. Maybe they have that in common too. This guy was fully dating and had a newborn, and
was Ethan Slater in Wicked? That's how they met.
Yeah,
that's how they met.
And he left his.
What they say, but she kind of disputes it. But it seems like there was overlap between Ariana and his wife and baby.
The wife said that there was overlap.
She did. There's a lot to the Ethan Slater situation. I did see him as SpongeBob on Broadway, and he was excellent. And I was like, he could go with Ariana Grande.
Yeah, that's
good. He could get Ariana Grande with that.
Interesting. With that yeah.
Okay, final question. Do we think Cynthia Erivo needs to touch grass?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kidding me?
Absolutely. The greenest grass there is.
Yeah.
The greenest grass. The pussy grass. Yeah.
I'm so sorry. Cynthia, I'm so sorry. I do think you're very talented.
Are you going to bleep that?
Yeah. I'm going to bleep it.
Yeah. Yeah, girl. Just like, life's not that serious. Yeah. I don't know. It's like, I wouldn't even say go touch. It's like, go touch grass, but also like, I don't know. Go like.
Go shopping.
Go to a soup kitchen. Yeah, like,
get
like grounded a little bit and have like some fucking fun.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's very
go
real.
Shopping.
Retail therapy. Remind yourself that you've made it.
Yeah.
You know? How much money did you get for Wicked?
Probably give like, me $50,000. Yeah.
Give me $50,000.
Yeah,
okay,
Venmo Millie.
Yeah, Venmo me.
We have one quick other mini discourse, but Jeffrey, do you want to read a couple tweets as a palate cleanser?
I'd be honored, yeah. So this would be a photo of Miss Frizzle wearing a strap on.
And Miss Frizzle is who? For the uninitiated.
The teacher from the school.
Magic school bus.
And now she's wearing a strap on, okay.
And then the tweet would be sticking out my gat for the Frizzler.
Okay. Cool. I think that's going to hit with Gen Alpha. We're millennials.
Alpha for sure,
So.
Yeah, this might be more Andrew's speed. It's a photo of the Eiffel Tower, and it's that shit trussin'.
How do you respond to that?
I was going to say I lost the room, but I never had the room.
I think that you had the room at one point.
Yeah.
I feel like one of the tweets, I forget which one that we said we really liked.
This and Snap.
I liked Hall. I thought there was something there.
What if I say it again?
Trust, because a truss is like what they use to build the Eiffel Tower.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Okay.
See, but that requires a lot of
architectural knowledge.
Yeah. It doesn't mean that it's a bad joke. It just means that, like, you have to explain so much for people to get the joke that it might not be worth.
Yeah. If you got it on architecture Twitter, if you started making inroads in that niche, then I think you could post it and it would do numbers.
I bet you if you posted that on, like, a Facebook group about architecture, it would fucking hit and do numbers.
Wow. I get that. I wonder if it's the perfect tweet, though.
It might be the perfect tweet.
Yeah, exactly right. For the masses, in a way, the general public.
I don't know if it's going to become a load-bearing tweet.
No. That's really good, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to go the distance in that way.
Well, let's move on, please.
Okay, we'll move on. We'll move on quickly to Chicken Shop Date. Do you guys know what Chicken Shop Date is?
Yeah.
Okay, so Chicken Shop Date is, for the uninitiated, it's a YouTube show. Have you guys ever watched it?
I've seen clips.
It's just like this white girl in a fried chicken shop, like, interviewing celebrities, like, awkward. I don't even know.
But she originally went viral because she would take, like, a drumstick and then go like this at, like, a cartoon and bring it out with, like, all the meat, all the cartilage off, just bone.
I don't know if you're telling the truth or not.
I actually don't know if you're telling the truth or not. Yeah, I was like, listen, I did research for this and I haven't heard anything about this bone, this chicken bone situation. I was not like a Chicken Shop Date person per se. I felt like neutrally about Chicken Shop Date, I would say. But I do want to clarify, because I needed to make this clarification for myself. Chicken Shop Date and Brianna Chicken Fry are two different people.
Yeah. What is the second one?
Brianna Chicken Fry.
She's a Barstool Sports personality who's dating Zach Bryan, a country singer, and it's problematic, and there's a bunch of shit. And
yeah, she's a whole other discourse, but I was like, is Chicken Shop Date hosted by Brianna Chicken Fry? No. Brianna Chicken Fry is not related to Chicken Shop Date at all. Okay.
Her last name is hyphenated Chicken Fry? No,
that's her nickname.
It's like her stage name. Okay. Her real name is Brianna LaPaglia, I think.
Yeah, she's cool.
But she goes by Brianna Chicken Fry. Yeah, you know what? We're cutting this out.
Yeah. No, not cut it out, but like, that's another level of white nonsense, and we need to stay across the pond.
We're staying with British white nonsense, but actually we do have to go back to American white nonsense, because also it's different than the interviews that this girl does. Bobby Alsop.
It's like, I feel like kind of in the same genre though. So Bobby is like a white girl who's kind of boring. She would say
the way she would market herself is that she interviews celebrities with like dry humor, but I feel like she was going viral for a while for interviewing rappers and kind of acting like she doesn't know who they are.
And like
being
kind of disrespectful and not looking them up and like kind of being rude to them.
Yeah, that was like her shtick, and I feel like it peaked and then went away. Brianna Chicken Fry.
Not
Brianna Chicken Fry. Chicken Shop Date girl, whose name is Amelia de Moldenberg. She, I think, straddles a better line with that, where like she's being a little, it's more like flirtatious banter with the other person. She's not pretending not to know them or like,
and it's more casual. It's like friends, you know.
Yeah,
it's not like Hot Ones where there's like a thing, you know. They're just at a chicken shop and they're like chatting.
Yeah, I feel like it straddles the line between this Bobby Althoff person and Hot Ones in that it is more of a genuine interview. They're at this chicken shop. She is going to kind of like lightly rib them and be like a little like sarcastic with them.
It is just her flirting with it. It's like trying to have sex with celebrities.
Yeah, she's like negging them, I guess. And I will say, like, I do think she comes off a lot better than Bobby Althoff. Yeah. wasn't like into the Bobby Althoff stuff. I think it's a little more charming.
But I'd be better than both of them.
And
absolutely.
Thank you, guys.
But Chicken Shop Date, it's hosted by Amelia de Moldenberg. It goes back to 2014. She meets a celebrity guest. They have a fake date with little awkward banter.
It's 10 years old?
Yeah. It's really old. She started it when she was 17, and it was originally a column.
Illegal, first of all.
I know.
Yeah.
And then she moved to
England.
YouTube.
They have different laws there.
They let kids work. They let kids work in the chimneys. Yeah. Over there.
Oliver Twist.
They still allow that there.
Yeah, Oliver Twist. Nice. Yeah.
It was a column. It moved to YouTube. Her first interview was with the British rapper Getz.
I was going to say.
Since then, she's interviewed like It's gotten bigger and bigger. It's gotten more and more popular.
Overnight sensations are 10 years in the making.
That's really exactly what this is.
But hopefully, it don't take us 10 years.
No, we're hoping maybe next year.
Yeah, next year we really hit it.
But she's interviewed Daniel Kaluuya, Jack Harlow, Sabrina Carpenter, Ed Sheeran, Charlie XCX, Jennifer Lawrence, Cher, and most recently and most importantly for our discussion. I know, Cher.
What was Cher promoting?
I have no idea.
She's fucking just being Cher.
Selling
guy.
Her house.
Christmas album last year.
Christmas album.
See, that's why we love having a gay guy here telling us, keeping us on check about Wicked and letting us know that Cher had a Christmas album.
And that's probably what she was promoting on Chicken Shop Date. But this time, she interviewed Andrew Garfield.
Who just recently got great hair plugs, allegedly.
Oh, yeah, they look
the
great.
The hair plugs look great.
The widow's
great.
Peak is gone.
Yeah,
man.
He went to Turkey.
Yeah. No, he went to Turkey,
nice,
bitch.
Yeah.
He went to Istanbul, baby.
Yeah. okay, has the Andrew Garfield Chicken Shop Date made it into either of your feeds?
I've seen the promo for it, which was like a 4-second clip of him sitting down and just like looking at her and her looking at him.
Yeah.
Yep. So you guys have seen that?
Was there like a red carpet moment with him and her like a year ago or something?
Wow, you guys have more background than you even realize.
Yeah.
Okay, so she had Andrew Garfield on. This is a big deal because they have this flirty history where she interviews him on the red carpet.
Yeah.
And they have been flirtatious with each other on the red carpet.
Hi.
Hi. How are you? We must stop meeting like this.
I only ever want to see you.
What?
That's not the end of the sentence. That's not the end of the sentence. I only ever want to see you in these kinds of situations.
What about other kinds of situations?
Not interested.
I was going to invite you to my birthday party.
When's your birthday party?
The 30th of January.
What astrological sign are you?
I'm an Aquarius. That's your moon.
If you have a sun sign that's the same as the moon sign of someone else,
it's not good.
No, it's good.
Oh, it's good?
Yeah.
Why is that an issue?
Well, because I don't think we should explore this.
Okay, well, I'm not even asking to.
I know, but I'm just like...
You're obsessed.
So, and he recently broke up with someone.
I was going to say, he's single and
new hair plugs.
He's got new hair plugs. People are wondering what's going to happen. They've had these two flirtatious viral moments online. Then she announces that they were going to do Chicken Shop Date together. Mm-hmm. You guys have seen this trailer.
Correct.
Yeah, he like glances at her up and but it's hard to say, like, is it sincere flirting energy or is he just a great actor?
So that's kind of the real question here.
Yeah.
But people loved the Chicken Shop Date. It got 1 million views in the first 5 hours. And as of this recording, which is 4 days later, it has 5.5 million views.
Wow.
Of course.
So people...
Just like our... podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Just this like this episode, podcast will have within 5 days of its release, of course. People were really feeling the chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you guys have seen the trailer. That's like the flirtiest moment. I was trying to pull clips, but I have to be honest, like, so much of it is the way that their body language is. He's like looking her up and down and biting his lip. Like, I don't know if the audio of it...
Yeah.
Does it just?
It's British flirting, so it's all implied and all that bullshit.
Yeah,
so
it's two British people flirting with each other.
Two British people flirting. Not much juice there, you know? It's giving Pride and Prejudice. Long glances. Crazy.
It really is. Brushing each other's hands like as they walk by.
Telling the ton about each other.
Less Pride and Prejudice, more Atonement if they're going to follow this.
Oh, wow. I hope it's not Atonement.
I'd love to see the two of them in a fucking library.
See, I don't even know Atonement. You're too highbrow for me. You're talking about Tussin.
You would love Atonement.
Okay, well.
Everyone does. It's the best sex scene I've ever seen.
It is a really good sex scene.
Yeah. I'm going to go watch it later.
Yep.
Well, get ready because it's a wild ride.
Do it at the end of the night with no one else in your apartment.
Okay, well, that's most nights. Continue to a Chicken Shop Date.
So people started, like, this has gone so viral. People photoshopped, like, basically a 90s rom-com like poster for
good.
It. This is like a book, a romance book.
That's
cover
for
cute.
It. It's really cute. There's just like general fan art. Like people are literally going crazy for this. So I have two questions for you to round out this mini discourse.
Mm.
Number one, this is a question that was posed by Audrey Horn at CredenzaClear2 on Twitter.
That's somebody who started a furniture restoration company and then gave up.
And now she's asking philosophical questions on Twitter. Do you guys think Andrew Garfield has noble intentions towards Amelia de Moldenberg, or is he just an extremely advanced 41-year-old fuckboy?
What?
Yes. Yeah. I think he is an extremely advanced 41. What are you confused about? The question?
Why is that the, like, those are the two choices? That's the binary?
I think that there could be a third option, which is that they're both having a little bit of fun.
Or I guess someone's just like, do you think he actually wants to date her, or you think he's just being a fuckboy?
Yeah.
And I say yes.
He's marketing a movie.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to fuck her, and he's not, like, being a weirdo.
Yeah, that's kind of, I definitely come down in the middle, too, where, like, I don't know if the chemistry is real. I do think it's fun. I think they both do a really good job of,
and
like.
And maybe they might fuck.
Maybe they will just for the fun of it.
For the fun.
There's
got
to be a little juice there, I feel like, for them to be able to.
Well, it's fun to flirt.
Yeah.
Flirting's fun, guys. Yeah. Hot take. Flirting, fun.
Flirting is fun. So, I mean, I thought the way that question was phrased was funny, but I do think it's somewhere in the middle. Like, they're both. They both know that they're putting on an act, and they probably are good at flirting with one another. And
he's over
the
hill.
And he's like, actor. What I was going to say, famously, so he's promoting this movie that he has with Florence Pugh.
Mm. Yes.
And in the interview, they said that there was a sex scene, and him and Florence Pugh were so into it that, like, they didn't stop for a long time. Like, the cameraman had to turn around and, like, face a corner and, like, let them finish and have their moment. Like, so it's like, yeah, this guy's just a really weird actor.
He's horny as hell.
Yeah, and
no, but that I also think is just him selling the fucking movie. Yeah. I'm like, he's playing the press to be like, oh, did you see this? I have to see this sex scene. I have to see this movie. When it's like, they just didn't hear the director call cut.
Yeah.
Wow, but that's too weird. With a sock on, like, in
Yeah, you're not listening for the cut a little bit in that moment. But
that's true.
I mean, it seems like
that
in both of these instances, the other woman is right there with him.
That's also true. I mean, hot.
Mutually didn't hear the cut. Amelia de Moldenberg is also flirting back. So it seems like he's just everyone's having a good time.
Yeah.
Bitch, if I know I could get 5 million views on our podcast, I'll flirt with The Rock. I'm just saying, we'll do it. Because, right, like, it's $100 per each 1,000 or something.
Oh, she made enormous amounts of money on this video.
Come on.
And hand over fist.
And listen, if they fucked, power to her. Yeah, even
you
better.
You got the cash. Yeah. She got his ass. Like,
she got the cash and she got his ass.
Slightly caress those not new hair.
Yeah. Ass in the movie. Did you guys see We Live in Time?
No. Woo! I haven't seen it.
See, do you have a website where you chronicle, like, all the sex scenes or something?
No, it's the same movie. It's only one movie. His ass is there.
You watched the movie?
Yes, it was really good, I thought.
Okay, so how was the sex scene?
Well, the sex scene was fine. But his ass was like cantaloupes, I would say.
Wow.
Interesting.
Texture-wise
or just
hams, dude. Okay.
I think he's very cute.
He's very cute.
He's very charming. I would certainly have a meeting with him. I would certainly
like
take the meeting.
Like a general or like a date?
Any of it.
I'd totally go to a chicken shop. Also, like, for the conceit to be a chicken shop date, I'm just like, there's probably three of them in the UK.
I think the sense that I got is that a chicken shop is a thing over there. But
it's we have a bunch in New York. There's Kennedy, the Texas.
Yeah. I know, but I think that, I don't know, the sense that I got reading it is that it's, like, different.
More, yeah.
Whatever.
Well, there's not as much good, like, food there.
Food, yeah.
Yeah, so anything that, like, makes food taste good is, like, illegal in the UK, which is probably for the
cannabis.
Best. Yeah, well.
So my final question on this discourse. So between this, the nobody wants this Adam Brody, like, rom-com renaissance vibes, I just am like, is America starved for love? I feel like we
Holy
want, truly, I feel like we are desperate for chemistry. And then maybe it started with the Glenn Powell-Sydney Sweeney press tour where they pretended to be dating.
God. Mm.
That was a good rom-com.
It was fun.
I watched it next to a Mormon kid, and he kept glancing. Because there's a lot of titties, ass, there's penis.
Yeah, they use a GoPro to, like, fly over Sydney Sweeney so you can see her tits from above.
Yeah. and this kid was on, like, Mormon YouTube, but he kept glancing. I saw it.
He was also secretly drinking a brown-bagged cold brew.
Yeah. No, he wasn't.
It's a Mormon joke.
Yeah, thank you.
We did a mom talk episode.
We did a, yeah.
It's on the
Patreon.
We're
in the Mormon discourse. I think, yeah, I feel like because of the Marvel, which I enjoy action movies, all that shit, but because like blockbuster and the way that movies have been kind of released theatrically, it's caused like the fun lower budget rom-coms to like not be in the zeitgeist and people are missing it. And
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, as me and you famously last week, we performed in a romance bookstore.
We did.
That's cool.
It's just romance
fun. The ripped
books,
bodice.
The ripped bodice. yeah, so I just
the
feel
Bridgerton
like, yeah.
of it all. People want yeah. romance in their
people
shows
want steamy
again.
Steamy romance. People want to see fingering and all that shit.
People want to see fingering. That's for sure. Is your pussy green?
Yeah.
Is your pussy green? What say you, Jeff?
Is my pussy green?
Is America's star for romance?
Absolutely. No, I think, but you know what? I think it's like you just Hollywood's so like slow. So I feel like them being shown that people like rom coms still that didn't end in like 2009.
Yeah,
Is great. I didn't see that movie, but I'm like, yeah, it'd be great if there were more like $40 million rom coms.
I know.
Yeah.
I want them back. I feel like things that have swung into such a degree of like everything is like a prestige epic. Nothing's just like purely fun anymore. I'm like, give me Jennifer Lopez and she's a maid and she puts on the ladies' fancy clothes and Maid in Manhattan, guys.
And,
oh, that's
and
good.
The thing is,
I thought you were pitching a new one.
No, but they should do it again.
Well, and that she like famously dates a Republican and I'm like, we don't need that.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's on YouTube is very 2024 too, is because like you said, Hollywood's so slow they'll probably react in 5 years where like this is tomorrow or something.
Yeah.
So
what would be your guys' ideal rom com pairing in a 2025 rom com? $40 million budget.
People are saying they want to see Io and Paul Mescal. I would want to see Kiki Palmer with like a shy guy.
With Ethan Slater.
Not Ethan Slater. Somebody like more demure.
Yeah.
Than like a
more mindful.
I mean, I have social anxiety. I'd be down to read for it.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get Jeff
in there. Can
you
imagine me and Palmer?
Jeff's an actor.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like somebody fun, like a fun, outgoing, like woman personality with like a more like introverted like guy. I think that would be fun for me.
Yeah.
Because that's all my relationship.
I feel like
I literally dated Crackle.
That's so funny.
Yeah, the Adam Brody Renaissance Crackle. Really worked for me.
Yeah.
So I would say we keep Adam Brody and then opposite myself, obviously.
Okay. Well, yeah, of course.
Obviously, we're casting ourselves.
Yeah, well, I'll cast myself. Yeah. You know that I DM'd.
Who would you star opposite?
I DM'd Carol. Drake.
Oh, wow.
And I would actually just act it out where I said.
Now's your chance to get his ass because he's.
I know
his
that's
stock
he's,
is low.
His stock is low. And I said, Drake, and I'm going to make a video of it. I have to.
Yeah.
I said, Drake, if you give me $50,000, I will show up in popped pictures with you. And now no one will think you're a pedophile because your girlfriend. 30-something. And I'll take you to cool spots in Brooklyn, and, you know, everyone will get
we'll
the
rehab
heat off
this image.
Yeah.
We'll rehab your image, and everyone now is not talking about whatever. Everyone's like, who's this girl that you're with? She has a podcast. Whoa, it's on Patreon.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll make it's a money-making thing. You know
true.
What I mean?
You're talking about synergies.
I'm talking about synergy, and I would like to first act it out in real life or make a movie of it, me and Drake.
Millie's other love is Colin Farrell.
Millie
loves Colin Farrell.
Best sex. That's the best sex tape I've ever seen. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Oh wow!
If you know, you know.
Well, you guys, you could your rom com could be about you making the next best sex tape.
Yeah, the next best sex tape. And that someone tweeted, and I get it. It's like, listen, if you see me with Colin Farrell, like, don't talk about age gap. Like, I know what I'm doing. Just leave it alone.
I'm
leave
a grown woman, and I am not being taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm. Are we? Can we move on to the grass
hole?
Yeah,
we can. It's
speaking
time.
Speaking of dating discourse. So, grass hole of the week is our segment where we pick somebody who needs to go touch the grass the most. Mm-hmm. And after Jeffrey, there is someone else.
Jeffrey, Cynthia, because. This person, Jeffrey, Cynthia, or Revo.
I get that. Yeah. I get that for sure.
So this week's grass hole has been on my radar for a while. And it's hard because a lot of people say that she's a professional rage baiter. Mm. And if you don't know, a rage baiter is someone who posts something online exclusively to make people angry.
Like this be Trussin, or what was your
name? Oh, yeah, that shit Trussin.
That shit Trussin, yeah. Trussin. Yeah, stuff that. Like that.
Well, let me tell you what her content is and tell me if this makes you mad. So our grasshole is this TikToker by the name Molly Rutter. She's a creator who's 32 years old, and she lives in Buffalo, New York, and she was an English teacher, and she currently has 162,000 followers on TikTok. She maybe had more, but considering this, whatever. So she is known for her dating content specifically. And the reason she's a rage baiter is that she will make really weird, bad decisions. Okay. So in April, she went viral because she posted about how she's about to go on a date with a finance bro. And he's younger. He was 23. Of course, Molly's 32.
Okay.
But the reason what they were going to do on their first date was he was going to help her with her taxes. Everyone was like, so her commenters, very engaged group of people, was like, you should not be giving someone your personal information.
So true.
Like a bank account, social security, all that shit that you need to get your taxes done should not be happening on a first date. And this guy's 23. Don't do this. Guys, the date didn't happen because he ended up ghosting her. Then she brought up that she was ghosted, then she went on a whole diatribe about how hard it is to date in this generation and dating, and everyone's like, it's not this generation.
Yeah, you just set up a really nice date where he's going to do your taxes. Yeah. Just like your grandparents' generation.
Even if he showed up and did the taxes, that's a terrible date.
Yeah, it's a terrible date.
They're going to have some beers and do taxes. So then she dated a guy and she called this guy Dangly Earring Guy.
Yeah.
And she was posting about him, and the Dangly Earring Guy was 24 and she's 32. And then it ended up not working out because, quote, they were in two different spots in their life, which, duh, his name is he wears dangly earrings and he's 24. So her channel is for people, like, the way she gets a lot of her engagement is, like, people yell, like, enraged. What are you doing?
That's so funny.
What the fuck?
She's making cash.
There's a very popular Reddit channel page called Molly Rutter Snark, and it has close to 7,000 followers, you know, and it's just people being like, what the fuck is she doing?
I mean, that's like 4% of her audience.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I do have to say, if anyone listening ever comes to a point where they really hate me, please do not make a snark page about me. I'm not strong enough to live in a world with a snark page about me.
I feel like,
I'm not strong enough.
We'll just delete the account.
So in an article by Vox, she was deemed, quote, one of the Carrie Bradshaws of TikTok. Okay. So it's like basically like we're watching her make, and Carrie Bradshaw from Sex and the City.
Yeah.
But famously, Carrie Bradshaw's a hot ass mess and like is fucking stupid. So like basically people watch to fucking shit on her and like all this stuff, but she gets whatever, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's been her reputation, so much so that a few months ago, she says that she quit her job as a teacher to do content full time. Mm-hmm. But people speculate that she actually got fired from her school because her school saw her insane content. Mm. I don't know. Anyway.
Imagine if you saw your teacher on TikTok being like, I got ghosted again.
By a guy with a dangly earring. So anyway, right? So now that it's her full-time job, she's been posting even more of her life. Of course, she has a podcast, and she's going on dates, and she just recently, I guess because her whole thing is dating, like she's posting and she's going on more dates, and she's been sharing increasingly hostile experiences with men. She mentions that she was walking to a bar one day and in a 10-minute walk was catcalled 3 times. She also talked about how she got in an argument with a random guy at a bar because he said something that she didn't like, and she like got in his face. And, you know, she recently shared that she was on a date and they were kissing and it was sweet, but then he like grabbed her boob in a way she didn't like and she didn't consent to, and it triggered her, and her audience like really felt for her, and they were all talking about like sexual abuse and assault and just whatever. So this has kind of been the lead up to the inciting incident.
Okay.
So she posts a get ready with me, and she says she's going on a date with a goth guy.
Oh, no.
So the caption says, get ready with me to go on the scariest date of my life. The TikTok is the get ready with me, right? She, in the way that she does most of her dates, she posts like she's doing her hair, she's doing her makeup. She wears her outfit. She's like, I feel so confident in this outfit. I'm so excited. I can't wait to see where he takes me. This is going to be like, whatever. It just looks normal. And in the last few seconds, she has a video. Like, the last few seconds of the video is a clip of her with a black eye and a busted lip with red and blue lights flashing. And it looks like the police were there.
Oh, my God.
Right? So people were very concerned, and she didn't post a follow-up for an entire day. And given her history with men, people were really concerned. Guys.
Oh, no. I'm nervous for what this is going to be.
Yeah.
The video was sponsored content for a haunted house.
No.
So let's watch the Let's watch the video that she posted as a follow-up to this video. So click on that.
So funny.
Here's the highly anticipated recap of my date from hell. Literally the scariest date I have ever gone on in my life. So this man surprised me with a private tour of Fright World, which is one of the biggest haunted houses in the country, actually. And I feel really lucky that we have this in Western New York. I've been going to this every year since I was like a little kid. I feel like I've always loved Fright World. And so I thought it was such a cool experience that we got to go through it privately. And I feel like haunted houses are the perfect date night because you get to play all damsel in distress and hang on to them for dear life. It's just like intimate and flirty and fun. And just the adrenaline rush you get from being scared out of your mind the entire time. Like, I just had an absolute blast. And then my zombie boyfriend, he took me to get my makeup done by their makeup artist. And I got to match him with the zombie attire. So we were cute little.
So,
sorry to scare you.
So the makeup that she got, just for context, she says it was zombie makeup. Did that look like zombie makeup
to
you?
No, it's like, I don't know. That's actually like fucked up.
Yeah, no, it's actually fucked up. The makeup was like a black eye and a busted lip.
And a busted lip.
That's not what a zombie profiting looks like.
So that's, people got in her fucking ass and they're like, what the fuck? She didn't disclose it as an ad in the first place. She didn't disclose anything as an ad. She didn't even disclose this as an ad. So people were like, what the fuck? And then she apologized and she was like, sorry you guys didn't know it was an ad. And then people were like, no. So she had to post a second apology video where she were like, no, it's not because it was an ad. It was because you made it seem like you got abused.
Yeah.
And
then you scared us and we were genuinely concerned for you.
Yeah. And then she was like, sorry about that. But in the video, she has this like smirk on her face that people are pissed about. So, yeah, what are your guys' thoughts?
Not dissimilar from
the Wicked.
The Wicked poster.
The
wow.
Wicked poster. So
that's
what do you guys think?
Photoshop.
Yeah, of Molly Rutter and the Molly
if
Rutter.
If any listeners are good at Photoshop, can you Photoshop Molly Rutter's face under the Wicked hat on the poster?
Smirking. And then Jeffrey will tweet it, and that will be the
first tweet. That'll be my first tweet back. Yeah.
I think that's great.
That's so messed up. That is so messed up to make people, to make people fear for your life, and then you're advertising a haunted house.
Especially with the lead up being like your life is maybe unraveling in a way, and you're not being honest about it online, which is fine. But I don't know.
Yeah. And like people question if there was a date at all. Like she said, get ready with me for a date, but then
with
she got a private
guy. Like,
yeah, she had a private tour.
Anymore.
Yeah.
No,
in Buffalo. But.
Maybe
that's
in Buffalo.
Cool,
that's true.
Cool,
but also, I feel like this plays into anti-goth sentiment.
Yeah.
That is not it's not the goth guy that's going to beat you up on a date.
No. It really is not. Like, it's the finance guy.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like the fucking Patrick Bateman dude. Yeah. Goth guys are usually just like quiet.
So, I mean, there was no goth guy apparently.
No,
like,
there wasn't.
Yeah, there was no date. There was whatever. And she knew this is kind of like we need to have categories for our grass holes.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is one. And this is like a subcategory of online where it's like if you make your entire presence your life and you want to full time it, you got to keep inventing and doing shit and whatever. Yeah. So she knows that when she talks about dating and shit, it performs well. And when she talks about like sadly abuse, it performs well. So she's like, oh, I really want this like sponsored content to go well.
Yeah.
So I'm going to make it seem like this. And then it completely backfired because that's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I imagine, you know, with sponsored content, you want to hit certain metrics. So if you do this weird thing to try to drive people to the next video and then you're like, it's a haunted house, it's definitely a ploy for views and engagement. It's extremely fucked up.
Yeah. It's
not right to do at all. It's just like, oh my god, and this is I can't get over that it's for a haunted house.
For a haunted house. I know,
the dumbest thing to advertise.
I know.
Fright night or whatever. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, so for the crime, last week we did somebody who lied about HIV, whatever.
Yep.
So this
people
week,
are lying for
people
views.
People are lying for views, yeah. Guys. Attention economy. Before people would do anything for money, now people would do anything for attention. It's a cultural shift. We must be aware.
Mm-hmm.
And for the crime of lying about domestic violence to promote a haunted house, Molly Rutter, go touch grass.
Wow. I was not ready for the haunted house reveal.
That was a mad lib.
I was not ready for it to be revealed that this was all for a haunted house.
It's all for a haunted house, guys.
Oh, what a beautiful episode.
Beautiful.
Jeffrey, do you have any final tweets to share?
Yeah, go ahead. You have anything else?
Are you okay?
Sorry, I just...
Is it hard to be vulnerable?
I'm nervous for, like, the warm reception that this one's
going to
come
through. Okay, yeah.
So it'd be a photo of me holding up my personal prescription for doxycycline.
What's mm-hmm. that?
It's a chlamydia medication.
Okay.
And it would be this and clap. But you guys don't know this and yeah, so that doesn't really work.
Right.
Yeah.
And I also didn't know doxycycline as
Yeah, so it seems like a lot of your jokes require some background knowledge.
Yeah.
And also, aren't you in a very serious relationship?
That's true.
So would she appreciate you making jokes about you having chlamydia?
I don't have chlamydia.
I know you don't. But the premise of this says that you would.
Nobody thinks that what I say is real.
If you're holding the bottle of your prescription.
We just talked about this girl who fucking lied about the. Like,
no, I want to try it if it's going to bring me cash.
You want to try getting chlamydia?
No, I want to try lying online.
Lying about.
Not about abuse.
No.
But then it would say that your girlfriend has chlamydia too. So that's what I'm saying.
I get that.
So it has to be something that's maybe not sexually transmitted.
Yeah, I get that.
Like, you could lie about norovirus, maybe.
Yeah,
or
I
like
West
diarrhea.
Nile. I have EEE.
Yeah.
The brain worm, like RFK had a worm.
Yeah, you could brain have a worm.
I do have brain rot, like we all do. Yeah. Probably everyone who listens to this.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
Although, we're trying for them not to have brain rot.
Yeah,
and that's the conceit.
Them.
Yeah.
Do you have any other tweets?
No more tweets. I do have something to plug.
Please.
So I'm in New York for 2 more weeks, and for the last week that I'm here, I'm going to be on a podium in the Hall of Asian Mammals at the Natural History Museum, and it's sort of like a Yoko Ono exhibit. Yeah, well, so basically I'm going to be standing there, and if you want, there's going to be scissors around. People, you can come up and cut off articles of my clothes like Yoko Ono. Also at Jeffrey James on Instagram. And when is this coming out?
It's coming out on Wednesday. Will you already
Great.
Be at the museum?
I have
museum?
A show at Littlefield in Brooklyn, October 28th. It's the HeadGum Podcast live. There's not that many tickets left, so please buy them so I can feel good about myself.
Well, that sounds beautiful.
Yeah, congrats.
Okay, you already said where everyone can follow you. You already said your little museum thing.
You're going to have schlong out at the Museum of Asian Mammals?
I wouldn't mind. I think I would fit in with the others.
All right.
You could get Ariana Grande with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what they're going to say.
Wow.
Is your pussy green?
Is your pussy green?
You can walk up to Jeffrey at the museum and say, is your pussy green?
And then cut off part of the clothes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See if my pussy's green.
And trussin'.
And yeah. See if it's trussin'.
Wow. We really used
our improv skills to bring it all together at the end. Yeah.
You can find this podcast at Go Touch Grass Pod on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. Mm-hmm. You can follow me at Millie_Tamarez on TikTok and Instagram, and at Millie Tamarez, aka Lactose Intolerant, on Twitter.
Really good.
Have you switched to Elise Navidad yet?
Sorry.
I've been desperately trying. If anyone works at Meta, since the last time we talked about this, I would like to change my Instagram handle. But until that happens, it is Pandalise on Instagram and Elise Navidad on TikTok.
Of course.
Which is the superior handle, and I would like to have it across all platforms. But, you know.
Andrew, what do you got?
This
is our producer, McGuigui. Andrew.
McGuigui, MCGUI _GUI.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay, guys, and until next time,
go touch grass.
Wow, that was beautiful.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.